The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeart Radio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the house. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. It's opening day.
What a
Sweet
day.
Sweet 16, a lot going on.
Oh, Survivor, baby. I'm in finally. So over 3,000 entries. I'm in 343rd place. Not good enough.
All right, so that means I'm below you.
I got to take.
Have you submitted?
No, but I will. I mean, I know what I'm taking. I already know what I'm taking.
You know what? I'm not sure. I've gone back and forth over the past 24 hours. I'm looking forward to, I said to myself, I'm going to have a conversation with Gil Alexander about this on the show first, and then I'm going to figure out what I'm going to say.
Okay. All right. We'll do that later. Zach and Crack, of course, Zach Cohen on not only the NBA and tennis, but he's got thoughts on the Sweet 16 as well. Maybe he's got some plays in Miami today. We'll get to that momentarily. Dr. Bob joining us. Is that true?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yep.
We have an alleged accusation.
Nah, he'll be here. He'll be here.
Dr. Bob on the Sweet 16. Going to ask him about the games, obviously, tonight, tomorrow night, who he's got simulated a win of the whole thing, percentages now. And because the Major League Baseball season, well, did begin yesterday, of course, with the Giants getting beat by a touchdown against the Yankees, in earnest, begins today. 22 other teams in action. Joe Sheehan from the Joe Sheehan newsletter joining us today. He's also got a Joe Sheehan gaming thing happening this year.
Yeah, a new gaming newsletter. So I'll let him explain that. But I actually just forwarded you his one from this morning. So yeah, he's got some thoughts.
Gracias. And then Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted with the Crackman.
Mm-hmm.
A numbers game brought to you by ProfitX. All of that coming down. We'll also talk about here before opening pitch here with Paul Skeens. First game this morning is in just over 3 hours. Paul Skeens and the Pirates going up against the Metropolitans. I am going to make a Major League Baseball play today. I'm just playing Skeens. Skeens first five, Skeens full game.
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, you give me plus money on the full game, you give me short minus money on the first five. Thank you very much. I'll take it.
I might join you too. I felt a little bit of FOMO last night of the, like, I got close to playing the Yankees team total over. Yeah, just kind of first game, and you know, and that was easy.
Wait a minute, you're the perfect person. How'd you love your boy Jameis with all his?
Well, Danny alerted me via text message. I don't know about you. I watched a lot early, and then I was back and forth on TVs with all the NBA going. So I think I missed the main Jameis appearance, but then I caught him at the end of the game. I thought he was glorious. Dude's gonna make so much money when he's done with football.
Yankees beat the Giants 7-0. Logan Webb got beat up in the second inning, five spot.
Yeah.
Was it a five spot in the second? I believe it was.
I think it was.
And then, even if he had pitched well, guess what? Got no run support at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of his thing. I don't know what it is about this man's career. They cannot give him runs. 7-0 Yankees. That's the opener. Aaron Judge, though, 0-5 with a golden sombrero.
Well, he's awful.
Strikeouts. So he's terrible. So there's that. But I'm on Skeens today. The other stuff that was going on. Oh, the best two parts about that game last night, other than the, if you're a Yankees backer, a Yankees fan, the puff cloud American flag before the game. Do you see that?
Mm-mm.
That was unbelievable. Into the San Francisco clear skies, the beautiful red, white, and blue cloud American flag was unbelievable.
What was it, like fireworks?
They shot out whatever.
It's like smoke effect
smoke,
or something?
Smoke effect.
That's cool.
I said cloud. Smoke effect. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Pardon me. And then Barry Lamar Bonds was on the broadcast.
Yep.
Both before and during. And he told a story that I believe heretofore, Kelly, has never been told before.
Ooh.
Heretofore.
Ooh.
Where he said that back in 1993, when he eventually signed with his hometown Giants, he got an offer from the Yankees and was prepared to take it. They were going to make him the highest paid player at the time in Major League Baseball. But he said, boss, George Steinbrenner on the phone said to him, yeah, you have to have it signed by 2 p.m. today, though. And Barry said, what did you say? And hung up on him. And he said, I'm going home. I'm going to play for the Giants.
Never told
that story before. That was the biggest news of the game yesterday. That
wow.
Bonds could have, perhaps should have been a Yankee.
Yeah.
Were it not for the arrogance of George Steinbrenner.
Oh, you got to love when a player of that level and an owner like that get on the phone with each other. Yeah. When demands start getting dropped, things always go well.
I 100% believe that story, too.
Yeah, me too.
100% totally, believe totally. Okay.
As much as we love Barry Bonds, I can also see him in 1993 being like, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'll go sign anywhere else.
I would think in any walk of life, if the boss is basically telegraphing the past at that point as to, I'm a horrible human, and this is going to be a nightmare for you if mm-hmm. you come here.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need to know. Yesterday, let's get to yesterday. Yesterday, a tennis run comes to a skid. By the way, we're still 16-8 with over 10.5 units positive over the last run, even with the 0-3 yesterday. Kelly, ever have an 0-3 and you'd make the same bets again?
Oh, yeah.
That was yesterday. And by the way, this is the beauty of the numbers game audience. They kind of get that, right? It's only the outliers who do that, where it's like, okay, yesterday. So we had Jesse Pegula was a +180 play against Elena Rybakina. Pegula won the first set, lost the second, and then got broken early by Rybakina in the third and just could not get over the hump the rest of the way. Tip of the cap to Rybakina. Pegula as a +180 dog goes down. Then Martin Landaluce, a +212 dog, loses to Jiří Lehečka 7-6, 7-5 in a match that I would, if I'm being honest, Lehečka deserved, because I'm not sure Landaluce could have really dug into his serve at any point. So we lose that one. And then the kick in the, you know what?
The pants.
Tommy Paul. Tommy Paul is a short dog against Artur Fies. Was he short dog or short favorite? I think short dog. Was he?
Short dog. Right?
Short dog. Short dog's in the house, by the way. Shout out to Short. Tommy Paul, 0-6 on break points. That's not the worst of it. Worst of it, he gets to the third set. By the way, it was 7-6, 6-7, 6-7. 6-2. He's up 6-2 in the third set tiebreaker. 6-2. You know what that means? That means 4 match points.
Yeah.
Guess what? Gackety gack. Gack, 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 gack.
Mm-hmm.
Lost the next 6 points.
6-2, tiebreaker for Gil. That means there's like a coin flip chance of it getting home.
That's right. That's exactly right. Brutality. Anyway, wild, and by the way, if he wins that, then it's, you know, you lose less than a unit on the day, and it's just a footnote.
Now Gil,
that's how it goes.
That's how it goes. Interesting betting psychology question you asking there, and I was kind of laughing after you said it, because not only have I had 0-3 days that I would make the same exact plays again, my problem might be I swing too far that way, where I'm so sure of it, where like I probably say that too often. You know what I mean? Like, yes. Like I should probably do more reflecting on whether I actually should have made those.
There is that peril as well. Yeah. Yes. Well, the only play today in Miami for me, we'll find out if Zach has anything else later. And I mentioned this play yesterday, Karolina Muchová -111 versus Coco today in the women's semis right now. Looking at that price, Muchová is actually, you can actually get Muchová at a better price than I got her yesterday, -111. I saw Muchová got all the way to -120. Now she's down to about -105. So you can get her at a better price against Coco. But I'm on Muchová today against Coco Gauff. That's the only tennis play. The Tankapalooza play hit yesterday.
Yes, it did.
Barely.
Oh, yeah.
For crying out loud.
Tankapalooza!
When I say barely, I'm talking about you, Golden State Warriors.
Dude, yeah.
Who Ben Sarraf was tomahawk jamming against him yesterday. I was like, look at this kid, leaflet. He was phenomenal, but Warriors just hold on. It was the refs almost were part of the tank yesterday.
Yeah.
They almost like held their whistle at the end. They're like, okay, we'll just let the Warriors win this at the end. Anyway, that gets home a 4-leg parlay. The other legs were pretty, fairly easier than that. And so our little Tankapalooza brain dead parlay background singer kind of thing.
Yeah, sorry, real quick. Lakers ended up looking tighter than it really was. It was way easier than what the final score says.
I guess Denver was nip and tuck for about a half or so.
That's fair too. Yeah, that one may be a little tighter than the final score indicates.
Anyway, it gets home 65 cents on the dollar. So we are what, 7-4 on these for +1.69 units. If you take the individual legs, we are 40-5. Think about that. You go 40-5, you're only up 1.69 units. Nothing today because it's a short NBA slate, but we will resume this tomorrow. And I think it's just, it's a minefield, but nice to have in the background.
Mm-hmm.
you know, just like add a few shekels here and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I was hoping in my head, I'll be honest with you, in my head, when we were 4-0 and we were, what was that? At that time, it was, you know, we were up three plus units.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I was like, you think we can squeeze 10 units out of this by the end of the day? That would have been amazing. We ain't getting there. But
yeah.
But as long as you're in the positive, like I said, as long as we're in the black, we'll still do this.
Totally. Totally.
Yep.
And look, there's, you know, other people have come with other ideas. There's other ways you can try to do it. I think that Gil is just putting in practice, right? The identifying these tanking teams and just money line parlaying them every time. This is the results.
Todd was telling me on his Discord, he goes, Gil, you see these Discord people, like you started this thing and they're telling you how to do it. Like, Gil doesn't know what he's doing with this stuff. This is the, now Danny has had to go to the smaller type graphic.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of these.
Anyway, just keeping track. Just of mentioning that game, Mavericks Nuggets, coming around to your side on this. I think the past few, past week and a half games, I think Cooper Flagg's going to win the Rookie of the Year, man.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that, dude? Like, I was watching that game, watching the last couple Mavericks games. They are running everything through him. He's putting up a million shots a game down the stretch. And meanwhile, Colin Knipple's playing like 19 minutes a game for some reason the past like five games. So the whole like argument I was making about Cooper Flagg and the Mavericks tanking away as Rookie of the Year starting to happen in Charlotte.
By the way, the MVP market is also getting tighter and tighter now. You see this?
Yeah.
So Shea's down to minus 700. Still a big favorite, but now it's down to minus 700.
You want to talk on the other side about it? I made a lot of notes.
Yeah, like the other guys are creeping up.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it's MVP every year in the NBA. These guys are incredible.
Coming back with that. And per division in baseball, who's going to have the most wins in April? We'll do that next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're betting the Sweet 16 or jumping into MLB as the season gets underway, now's the time to do it smarter with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video and show replays on the VSiN Watch app. Every tournament game is covered on VSiN.com with expert previews, best bets, betting trends, plus our all-new MLB betting guide with team previews and expert insights. And that's not all. You also get coverage of the NBA and NHL playoff races, plus our upcoming PGA Masters betting guide with best bets from VSiN Golf Experts. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets. Speaking of the book, Judd O'Connor, Jake Paul, Logan Paul, Tommy Paul, crap list. Except he didn't say crap, Kelly. Ryan Hyatt, great. Tagapalooza hits, and I forgot to put the cat in the box. Sorry. Say a shout out to Schrodinger's Schrodinger's cat. Chance Copperpot, I'm one of the guys in the Discord poo-pooing some of the Tagapalooza plays. I'm just playing these slightly differently, waiting to see who's starting. Not as brain dead. Kelly hasn't been playing all of them the same, too, so don't get mad at me. Well, Chance, if I was doing my show right up until tip-off, I could do that as well. You know what I mean? I hear what you're saying. I don't blame you for that. Shooter McGamblin, the only reason I'm not playing Iowa is because I'm in first place. Yeah, kind of a square pool that I'm in. Everyone behind me should 100% play Iowa. That's the correct way, Shooter, I believe. Yep. Spence, I miss when first pitch was always in Cincinnati. Yeah, remember that? Cincinnati? Was the other one Baltimore? Was it Cincinnati and Baltimore? I remember Cincinnati. That afternoon game would always start the season. This is a get off my lawn take, but I always thought that was super cool nod to the Red Legs. They did this because they were the first fully professional baseball team. Yeah, I remember that as a kid. They would start in Cincinnati in the day. And then we evolved to like ESPN Sunday nights. What's this? Okay, we'll read more tweets coming up. Just want to point this out before we get to Zach. There was some news in the NFL that you texted us about before the game, before the show. I said before the game. It's a game is what we do in here.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons. What'd you say?
Clear eyes, full hearts.
That's right. Micah Parsons expected to miss the first 3 to 4 games of the season. So that's the drift of his injury. Will drift into the first 3 to 4 games of the upcoming NFL season. So note that accordingly, season longers. Or note that as a good time to bet the Packers. Note, maybe I should wait till after week 3 or week 4 kind of thing with an adjusted season win total. That off the NFL press this morning. It's so difficult today now with injury reports like this, because there's a Jackson Churio thing going around and you can't confirm, is this true or not? Is he on the IL? Did he break his hand? So I don't know. Like there's other stuff going around that we have to just figure out if it's even true in this day and age of AI and misinformation and all that. Zach Cohen joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter. It's Skating Tripods. Is that correct? No, that's Betting on X. Skating Tripods is Adam Burke. I do this all the time. Betting on X is Zach. Skating Tripods is Adam. Betting on X, Zach, of course, writes about NBA, writes about tennis. He's also writing about the Sweet 16 today. Zach, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing very well. Betting on X. Great, great handle. Well done on that. Let's start with the tennis. I had Tommy Paul last night. Did you?
I had Fies, but I only had him to win a set. So I would have been fine with Paul winning. We would have both won. That was an insane match.
Honestly, if I took my bet out of it, one of the great matches of 2026, maybe it'll go down as one of the top 10 when all is said and done. It was just fantastic theater last night. What did you land on today? We have the women's semis. We have the men's quarters, right? Second half of the men's quarters, women's semis. Or is this the second half of the women's quarters? I can never keep track now. Because they do this.
This is the women's semis.
Yeah, women's semis today. What do you got?
Yeah, I do have Elena Rybakina +120 against Aryna Sabalenka. I did just see an insane Sabalenka stat that she is only, I think she's 40-0 in sets against everybody not named Rybakina this year. So this is the only player that she's had trouble with. But I do think that it's legitimate. I mean, you look at some of the most recent matches. Rybakina had to won 2 straight before they met at Indian Wells. Had a championship point in that match. I just don't think that she should be available at plus money against anyone at the moment. I think that since the WTA finals towards the end of last season, she's been the best player in the world. And I think that in these quicker conditions, she can kind of trouble Sabalenka even more than she normally does, because I think that what she does so well against Sabalenka that nobody else really can is rush her with her power. It's only going to be easier for her to do that in quicker conditions. So if she serves well, I think this is a match she's going to win.
Yeah, and for those who are like not hip to the tennis game, like why would Rybakina and Sabalenka meet in the semis? These draws are the reason that draws are done differently and randomly from event to event is because if you always did it by ranking, the same players would meet each other in the same rounds every single tournament. So they have to have some randomization to it. I think Iga was the number 2 seed before this. I think they use a system where the drift of her number 2 seeding was still involved. So she ended up being on the other side of the ranking of the bracket. Not that it mattered. So that's why Rybakina and Sabalenka just happened to be on the semis as opposed to the finals here. Same side, same half of this tournament. Muhova and Coco, which way did you go there?
I took Muhova. I think that Goff is getting really close to playing some of her best tennis. I think the forehand looks about as good as it's been in like months now. The serve is just still problematic enough that I think Muhova should be able to find a way to win this match. It's been a really lopsided head-to-head in favor of Goff, 5-0 against Muhova. But I do think that Muhova, with her steadier serve, her ability to come up and win points at the net, I think that's going to make the difference and get her through, you know, to beating this player for the first time in her career. She did make a stride at the Australian Open. She won a set off of her for the first time. So I do think that that next step is winning. And I think there's no better time than right now with Goff, you know, dealing with some mechanical issues.
We are together on Muhova, sir. On the men's side, it is the second half of the quarterfinals, if you will. So 2 matches on the quarter side. We throw Sinner to the side. Cerundolo and Sasha Zverev. How'd you play this?
Yeah, this is kind of like a perfect storm for me because I think that Cerundolo has been a really tough matchup for Zverev in the past. And then you're talking about Cerundolo at potentially his very best tournament and venue. He has been so good in Miami. I always call him Mr. 305. And I just kind of think that, you know, with Zverev being a player with a weak forehand, this matchup is tough for him because Cerundolo has one of the best forehands in the sport, probably a top five forehand in the men's game. And, you know, playing in the quicker conditions, which I mentioned, Cerundolo's serve becomes a little bit more dangerous. So I do think that, you know, with the confidence that he already has, having beaten Zverev in three of the five full matches they've played, adding to that the fact that he plays so well in this building, I do think this is a really good spot for him to, you know, win a set and potentially even win the match.
Cerundolo, Mr. 305, Kelly, as opposed to Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide.
That's how I know the two. That's for sure. Yep.
You gotta
always Francisco.
All right. Sweet 16, the tournament resumes tonight with Sweet 16. Arizona and Arkansas, and then you have Purdue and Texas. What are you doing with these two games?
Yeah, I parlayed Purdue and Arizona. Purdue is also my survivor pick, so have a lot riding on Boilermakers money line and saved them specifically for this matchup, you know, a couple of days ago. But with the first game, Purdue and Texas, I just kind of am trusting in what we've seen over the course of the entire season rather than what we've seen throughout the tournament. And this Texas team is better offensively than they are defensively, but Purdue is the best offense in all college basketball, number one in adjusted offensive efficiency. They are also much better than the Longhorns when you're looking at adjusted defensive efficiency. And I do think that with Braden Smith, you know, being one of the best point guards in the nation, one of the best decision makers in the nation, you're going to see Purdue's three-point shooting kind of light up a Texas team that is just 249th in college basketball in three-point percentage defense. And I said this on Hardwood Handicappers this morning because I did talk about it a little bit. Texas does a good job of running opponents off the line, but I just don't think they're going to be able to do it consistently against Purdue. Purdue really does get whatever shots they want because of how good Smith is, you know, as a ball handler.
So an Arizona-Purdue money line parlay, which you lay about minus 142-ish on. That's the play there.
Yep. And with the Arizona side of it, I've talked about this a little bit, you know, with Kelly and JBT in terms of the draft stuff. But, you know, as good as Darius Acuff is offensively, he's a bit of a nightmare defensively. And the same kind of goes for Malik Thomas. So I think that Arkansas team is very good offensively when you look at the guards, but I think defensively, they're going to have a lot of problems defending, like especially Braden Burries for Arizona. And Arizona is potentially the best defense in all of college basketball. So I think they're going to have some answers for the Hogs. I think that this is a game that Arizona really should win, potentially with just their toughness alone. They're just a much better rebounding team. Also, we'll add that I just kind of think that, you know, this is an Arizona team that if you're going to beat them, you're going to shoot them off the floor from three. Arizona just has a very low three-point rate. This Arkansas team is really not much better when it comes to firing away from deep. So if you're not winning the math battle against the Wildcats, I don't know how you're beating them, and I'm not sure the Razorbacks are going to do that.
What's the line about Acuff's defense that you heard yesterday?
No, I saw it was a tweet from over the weekend, and it was a source from inside a NBA front office that said he could possibly be the worst defender in the NBA next season.
And someone's
NBA defense.
Someone's going to draft him first. Really? We're all excited about this.
He might be my favorite player already, though.
I know, that sounds awesome.
If you get like 30 points per game and you're a terrible defender, you're my kind of guy.
I don't know if I'd draft you one, though, is the issue. No. All right. Zach has a play on Illinois-Houston, which, of course, is the marquee matchup of the four games tonight. And, of course, NBA plays on a short slate, but plays nonetheless. Coming back with Zach Cohen on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A special numbers game investigation reveals that baseball season is here. And VSiN Pro just made it a whole lot more profitable with MLB AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI. We're giving you data-driven projections for both hitters and pitchers compared directly to DraftKings lines so you know exactly where the value is. And every day we break it all down into the top value plays and strong plays so you don't have to do the heavy lifting. Got that, Kelly? Top value plays is one category.
Got it.
Strong plays, a second category.
And then I don't have to lift things.
You do not have to lift things.
Good.
Well, nothing heavy.
Nothing heavy.
Get access now with a VSiN Pro subscription at VSiN.com/MLB props. Check that out. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Yes, sir. Circus is setting up all their opening day festivities behind us right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, they got the bunting going. You see this?
Yeah. They always got the bunting just off screen, the little pitching setup. They always do a little first pitch for the season.
The bunting feels like a Mike Palm touch, doesn't it? That feels like something he would.
Could be. think is that Jonathan Von Tobel on camera down there doing working for his other job, other radio.
Man has another job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Local.
ESPN Las Vegas. Yep. Doing shows down there.
Good for him.
There's a chili cheese dog stand down there, Gil. I'm wondering what time it opens up.
Oh.
How early is too early to have a chili cheese dog?
What time do we get off?
10 o'clock.
I think that's appropriate time to get one. Before then, you should probably stay here. Yeah. I don't know if he gets the tingles every time a Major League Baseball season opens. By the way, numbers game brought to you by ProfitX. We should point out, sign up now. Scan the QR code for more. I don't know if he gets as excited as he always does for opening day in Major League Baseball. And yes, I know there was a game last night, but we will find out now if he does. From Joe Sheehan, the author of the Joe Sheehan newsletter, kind enough to join us on this opening day, courtesy of the Progressive guest line. Joe, the excitement still there after all these years?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a holiday. This is one of the great days of the year. And you mentioned last night, it was great to watch a game last night, but today is opening day. We've got 11 games from 1 o'clock here until after midnight, the Guardians Mariners game. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, as I said earlier, it kicks off this 186 day run where we just get our game every day. It's different than any other sports season to me because it is there every single day, whether you're gambling, you're just a fan, or you just love the game, that constancy is what makes it, and I don't think that's a word, that is what makes it great.
We understood. Think about that, though. 162 games for each of these teams in a 184-day span of Major League Baseball. Before we get to your picks, and I know you have some Sweet 16 plays as well, because the man isn't just pigeonholed into baseball. He loves himself some basketball. You are doing some gaming stuff this year? You are doing some Joshian betting baseball stuff?
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that yesterday. I've been running a gaming adjunct to the main Joshian Baseball newsletter for 4 years now. Go back to 2018 when PASPA went through, and this has become something that people enjoy. Some fans really enjoy, whether it's they're playing themselves or they just enjoy the content. So starting in 2023, I started running a free gaming adjunct to the main newsletter. You have to be a subscriber to the newsletter to get it. But I run 120 issues a year, maybe 3 to 4 times a week, with picks and also concepts and just talking about, you know, what's the best way to do this. Talk about issues within the industry a little bit, although I have leaned more towards picks. But yeah, if you're a subscriber to the main newsletter, you can sign up for this one as well. It's the sixth edition came out today. I did a bunch of futures in January and March, sent out those to people. And today we start picking games.
I love it. And the best place for folks to sign up for all of this is where?
Joshian.com. You'll find an archive there with like 25, 30 free issues. There's excerpts from everything that I do. There's a couple of free pieces this week, my opening day piece, some team capsules from the season preview. Joshian.com. You get all that and also tell you how to sign up.
Okay. I lied. One more thing before we get to the picks, because I'm so curious about this. Was there any of your purest baseball subscribers who, once you started doing the gaming thing, sent you like a clutch my pearls email? We're like, I can't believe you're doing this betting stuff, Joe. Was there anybody? Did you get any of that?
I wouldn't. That's a little dismissive to phrase it that way. I will say that there were objections, which is one reason I set it up like this. There was, I want to say, the fall of 2022, I put some of this into the main newsletter and I did get some pushback. Now, there are people who, for their own reasons, stay away from gambling content, and I have to respect that. And you got to remember, Gil, this is baseball. You know, baseball fans were told for 100 years, this is bad. And then in 2018, 2019, it was like, yay, go gamble on baseball. And I think there's some whiplash there. And there are older fans who are, you know, really still believe in that this should be nowhere near the game. So I really wanted to respect that. So I found this solution to have the main newsletter. Maybe I do one piece a year where I put props in there, and then I put all the gaming content separately, because there are people who don't want chocolate in their peanut butter, and I really want to respect that.
Yeah. You don't want to mix your chocolate in your peanut butter, Kelly.
But sometimes
it tastes good, if you know what I mean, Joe.
Sometimes you have a certain age to get the reference, I think.
That's right. Sometimes it tastes good. All right. Let's get to your plays today. I want to start with Cubs and the Nats. What do you got here?
Yeah, this is chasing what I think is going to be an all-time terrible bullpen in D.C. They're in a rebuilding mode, and when you're in a rebuilding mode, you just don't have to care about your bullpen. They've got Clayton Beater, the former Yankee and Dodger prospects, probably their best reliever. He's going to be their saves guy. But overall, this is going to be a bad bullpen. I normally wouldn't target team totals for a home favorite, because you're usually only going to get 8 at-bats. it's Chicago. You probably get some bad weather late in this game as well. But that bullpen is so bad, I have no problem projecting that the Cubs can get three runs off it after chasing Kate Cavalli out of the game. And if you're sitting there in game, you might have an opportunity to take it at 3.5 team total, even 2.5, depending on how well Cavalli pitches in the first half of the game. But this is targeting a terrible Nats bullpen. Cubs over to 4.5 runs.
Day game at Wrigley. Let's go to the Tigers and the Padres tonight at Petco. What are you playing here?
Yeah, how often are you really going to get Tarek Skubal at minus 130? That's the lowest number I saw on him. This is a Padres team that's going to struggle to score runs. They improved the offense midseason last year, but they really didn't do anything this winter to make it any better. Going up against Nick Pivetta, who, guys, very great story. Great story last year. They signed him to this really weird four-year deal that was a one-year deal with a bunch of opt-outs. He went out and had a career year. But the FIP, the fielding independent pitching, was about two-thirds of a run higher than his actual ERA. So projecting some regression out of him this year. The big pitching gap is why I'm taking the Tigers at minus 130.
All right, the Angels at the Astros. Astros a big favorite here on opening day.
I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of runs scored in this one. These are two bottom 10 offenses for me in baseball. The Astros, again, heavily right-handed. Jose Soriano, great ground ball pitcher, kind of an underrated guy. He's at a 3.73 FIP last year. He's not a number one, but he's the Angels' number one. I want to stay away from both of these bullpens as well. So I was able to find an under four first five innings at plus money at BetMGM. So again, the first five under, maybe you want to get it at 4.25, pay the extra, 4.5, pay the extra juice. But I think that's going to be a very low scoring game for the first half.
Okay. And those are the three plays then. Cubs team total over 4.5 versus the Nationals. Tigers with Tarek Skubal on the hill versus the Padres minus 130. I think Joe's right. Won't find a shorter price on Skubal perhaps all year. And then the Angels Astros first five under four. There in Houston tonight, plus 105. All right, it is the Sweet 16. We were talking a little bit about this off air. You weren't all about baseball all the time. You have a basketball background as well, which you can share with us, which was interesting to me because it was like an all-star team of guys over at when you were doing Basketball Prospectus, was it, at the end of the 2000s, at the end of the aughts over there?
I go back with college basketball to the 80s. I was in fifth grade when the St. John's had those great teams with Chris Mullin and Bill Winnington. You go to Mark Jackson, Walter Berry. So that's where I came by my love of college basketball. And then I went to USC when Harold Miner was there. Ah. So I've been loving the game for a long time. In the late 2000s, from my final years at Prospectus, we actually started Basketball Prospectus. Had a couple of annuals. We had a website. Some great talent there. Kevin Pelton, who's now with ESPN. John Gassaway, who was with ESPN for a while. Ken Pomeroy, who's like the biggest thing in college basketball now. We had a great group of guys there, did that for a couple of years. So, you know, when I started the gaming outlet, it gave me an opportunity to do some college basketball work each March. And again, it's for casuals. I'm a fraction of a guy like Todd Wishnev, the intelligence that he has, or Greg Peterson, some of the great college basketball guests that you have. But I enjoy doing it for my audience. We went 14-9 over the weekend, so that was nice. A couple of picks for tonight. The one I really, really like here is the over in this Arizona game. We saw Arkansas give up 78 points to Hawaii. We saw them give up 88 to High Point. I don't think they're going to be able to stop Arizona. I think this is going to be something along the lines of 90-80.
Okay, so that's, you said over 165.5. Is that your play in the Arkansas-Arizona game?
That's my play, 165.5, yeah.
Okay, and then you have another play tonight as well.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are on the Illini, and this number's bounced around a lot, and you know they've looked very good, but to me, Houston is actually my pick for the national championship. I want to stay away from the line here. It's, like I say, it's bounced around. It was 2.5 this morning. Just give me the money line at 160. It's a big price to pay, but I don't know how Illinois stops that Houston backcourt. I think they can go shot for shot here, and I expect Houston to lock them down in the second half and get the win.
Okay. Tomorrow night, you have a play on Alabama and Michigan.
Yeah, I don't know how either one of these teams really stops each other. Michigan's been good defensively. Even without Aiden Holloway, Alabama has a really dangerous offense. They're going to throw up a bunch of threes. I expect this game to get into the high 80s as well. So lined at 172.5 today. Give me that, and you know, expecting Alabama to push this game into the 90s even. I actually have Alabama going to the Final Four, so I think this is actually one of the best games of the weekend.
Let's go. Let's go, Alabama, to the Final Four. Houston, Mullett and company. Joe, a pleasure. First pitch, the Mets and the Pirates in just an hour and a half. Enjoy. Thanks so much for coming on.
1 hour, 34 minutes, 22 seconds. Not that I'm counting.
Not that you're counting. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time. Joe Sheehan.
Thanks, fellas.
JoeSheehan.com for all of his newsletter information if you want to sign up there. Dr. Bob on the Sweet 16. You don't want to miss that. That's next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game, proudly brought to you by PropheTX. If you're not on PropheTX yet, now's the time. Sign up by April 6th, purchase at least $25, and get a free $25. Then jump into their King of March contest. You can win free trips worth up to $5,000 or even $10,000. Just use the code VSINMM, as in March Madness. Make your first purchase, then learn about the contest on their homepage and start playing. No entry fee required. Hit $1,000 in volume, you're entered for the $5,000 trip. At $10,000, you're in for the $10,000 trip. Win 10 picks, hit the volume, and every additional 10 wins gets you another entry. Download PropheTX, use code VSINMM, make your first purchase, and take your shot at becoming the King of March. Skill Alexander, Kelly Billen alongside. Kelly, if you were wondering, hey, why is Gil reading that promo so darn fast? It's because it's not often we get a guest on the show who, prior to his appearance, says, hey, Gil, I got a lot to say, so maybe pipe it down. Ladies and gentlemen, we have such a guest right now. It's Dr. Bob, who joins us now to talk Sweet 16 with us, and we love when a guest comes on and says, I got a lot to say. Bob, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm doing very well. All right, sir.
Enough chit-chat. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. The floor is yours.
All right. I'm going to start with a play on Houston. I have a one-unit play on Houston minus back down to 2.5 juiced against Illinois. My NCAA tournament ratings only include games against quality opponents. I throw out all those mismatches. That hurts Illinois a little bit, given that the Illini were relatively better against bad teams this season. Houston, for the first time in memory, was actually a little bit better relatively against better teams than they were against bad teams. That's normally not the case, and usually why I have them a little bit down in my NCAA tournament ratings. This year, they are a little bit better against better teams, so that boost helps them a little bit as far as line value goes. Also, there's a significant advantage playing in their home city. Teams playing NCAA tournament games in their home state are 58% against the spread over decades, and the advantage playing in their home city is a little bit more than that. With that included with my ratings, I favor Houston by 4.5 points in this game. So there's some solid line value there. Also, one of Illinois' strengths is that they don't send their opponents to the line. They rank first in the nation by a wide margin in the fewest opponents' free throws allowed per 100 possessions. That's a problem for teams that depend on free throws as a big part of the offense. However, Houston's offense doesn't depend on free throws. Cougars rank number 351 in the nation in offensive free throw rate. So they don't care that Illinois doesn't allow free throws because they don't depend on free throws. Illinois is 26-8 this season, but the Illini are just 7-5 straight up and 4-8 against the spread against teams that rank lower than number 225 in the nation in offensive free throw rate. Three of those wins were Texas Rio Grande, Florida Gulf Coast, and Colgate. So against better teams, they're 4-5 straight up against teams that don't depend on free throws. Also, Illinois 0-4 straight up and 0-4 against the spread against the opponents that rank in the top 50 in the nation in 2-point field goal defense. Houston ranks number 9 in 2-point defense. So I like the matchup. I have some rating value. So Houston is a one-unit play at minus 3.5 or less, and right now it's minus 2.5, minus 15. So Houston. Good play there on Houston. Next one I'm going to go to is an opinion, a half-unit play on Purdue minus 7.5 against Texas. Purdue ranks 8th in the nation in 3-point shooting. Boilermakers are susceptible to being upset when their outside shots aren't falling at a high rate. However, Texas ranks 253rd in the nation in 3-point defense. They do not defend the 3-pointer very well. Purdue is 14-0 straight up against teams that rank higher than 150th in 3-point defense. All 14 of those wins were by 7 or more, 13 of the 14 by 8 or more. Boilermakers are 9-5 against the spread in those games compared to 8-14-1 against the spread against teams that rank in the top 150 in 3-point defense. So stopping the 3 is what you need to do to beat Purdue. Texas does not do this. Now, Purdue's weakness is their 2-point defense. They rank 244th in the nation in 2-point defense, but the Boilermakers don't allow a lot of 2-point shots. They force teams to shoot 3-pointers. 44% of opponents' shots are from beyond the arc. That's a high percentage. Purdue also doesn't send their opponents to the line much, as they rank 7th in the nation in lowest free throw attempt rate on defense. Now, Texas, only 26% of Texas's points come from three-point shots, which is 303rd in the nation. So being forced to take more three-pointers is likely a disadvantage for the Longhorns, who rank much higher in two-point shooting. Texas also ranks 28th in percentage of their points that come from free throws, and they're not going to get those easy points against a Purdue team that ranks eighth lowest in points allowed via the free throw line. So this is not a great matchup for the Texas offense. Looks like CJ Cox is going to play for Purdue after leaving the last game with a minor knee hyperextension. My ratings favor Purdue by 7.8 points. So it's not like this is a line value play since the line is 7.5. Some places have 8. The reason for the play is 1.6 points worth of statistical profile indicators. Now, during the tournament, there are certain types of teams that play better than expected in the NCAA tournament and types of teams that play relatively worse based on their statistical characteristics, which have been isolated. So there's 1.6 points of statistical profile indicators is a pretty huge advantage in favor of Purdue. Obviously, Texas has played well in this tournament, but Purdue profiled as a team that should perform better than expected in this tournament based on their statistical profile. So a half unit play on Purdue based on the statistical profile indicators. The next game I thought was the most interesting matchup. I don't have a play on it. It's a lean on Arizona -8 against Arkansas. Arkansas is very good offensive team. They rank 15th in the nation in effective field goal percentage. They rank first in lowest turnover percentage. Overall, they're the fifth best offensive team in compensated points per possession, you know, relative to the teams you face defensively. Arizona, however, number one in the nation in effective field goal percentage defense, and Arkansas is 0-3 against teams that rank in the top 15 in effective field goal defense, losing by an average of 17 points to Duke, number 9 in EFG defense, Houston, number 11, and Florida, number 12. Arizona, meanwhile, 4-0 straight up and 4-0 against the spread against teams that rank in the top 10 in compensated offensive efficiency. That's Alabama, Florida, and Houston twice. They covered the spread in all four of those games. The Wildcats do not sacrifice good defensive position to force turnovers. So teams that don't turn the ball over much don't really affect them. So Arkansas, the fact that they don't turn the ball over, it doesn't really matter because Arizona doesn't try to turn over teams. Arizona is unbeaten in 13 games against teams that rank in the top 100 and lowest offensive turnover percentage, including 3-0 against teams that rank in the top 10 and lowest turnover rate, which is Houston twice and Alabama. The matchup really works for Arizona's offense. Arkansas is a horrible two-point defense. They allow 54% on shots inside the arc, which is number 275 in the nation. Calipari's teams always make sure teams don't beat them with three-point shots, and they're very good in three-point defense, but they'll allow teams to get inside the arc and convert on those shots. However, only 27% of Arizona's shots are from beyond the arc, which ranks 363rd in the nation out of 365 teams. Arizona doesn't want to shoot three-pointers. They want to get inside and punish you inside the arc, and they get 57% of their points from two-point makes, which is 14th most in the nation. So facing a defense that is terrible in two-point defense is ideal for the Wildcats, and Razorbacks' good three-point defense is not really an issue given that Arizona doesn't focus on taking three-point shots. So I really like the matchup there. Also, so the two things, offense and defense, I don't think this is a great matchup for Arkansas. The team most similar to Arizona that Arkansas faced this season is Florida. Florida is an efficient two-point shooting team that doesn't depend on three-point shots. They're number 320 in the nation in percentage of points that come from three-point shots. And Florida plays good defense without trying to force turnovers. They're number 7 in defensive rating, despite ranking just 269th in turnovers forced per possession. So very similar to Arizona, except Arizona is better than Florida. Arkansas played Florida once. They lost 77-111. I don't think this game is going to be that ugly, but the matchups clearly favor Arizona. And I'm going to lean with Arizona -8, despite not having any line value on the game, really. I favor Arizona by 8.5. So a lean on Arizona based on the matchups. And if we have time, I've got a lean on Iowa plus the 1.5 against Nebraska. This goes back to the statistical profile indicators. Iowa is a team with the characteristics of a team that tend to outperform their rating in the NCAA tournament. They have 1.2 points worth of statistical profile indicators in this game. When they beat Florida, they had a 2.1 point advantage in statistical profile indicators heading into the game against Florida, and they upset the Gators. Now, some might think there might be a letdown from a number nine seed after beating a number one seed. But interestingly enough, teams that beat a number one seed as an underdog of more than 4 points, if you exclude other number one seeds, those teams are 36-14-1 against the spread in their next tournament game. So I'm not too worried about a letdown here. Maybe it's more of an indicator that Iowa is the team to look out for. So I'm going to lean with Iowa plus the 1.5 against Nebraska in that game.
Good talk, Bob. Good catching up with you. That was outstanding.
There you go.
Yeah. 30 seconds to spare, Bob.
Wow.
Glad I could find out what's going on in your guys' lives.
All right, to recap, Houston is a play, Purdue is a half-unit play, and then leans but not plays on Arizona and Iowa. That's the
That is correct.
That's right. Dr. Bob, everybody.
There Bravo. Is,
unlike any other. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
That's all right, guys.
The great Dr. Bob at Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com, by the way, is where you can find his site as well. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.